Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, December 30th, 2025. It's almost 2026. A happy early new year to you. Let's begin. The first headline reads, Special Section Inside, Illini at the Music City Bowl, Fan Favorite. And there's a front center colorful large photo of kids in a gymnasium on bleachers. And we're seeing the back of a bald head as someone is lifting up their cell phone camera to take a horizontal group photo of kids. The caption reads, Illini football standout, Aiden, A-I-D-A-N, Lowry, or it's spelled Laffery, L-A-U-G-H-E-R-Y, I'll say Laffery, received the celebrity treatment in a return to his elementary school in Gibson City. This month's visit included photos with students who were recognized for good hallway manners and who made signs in support of the Gibson City Melvin Sibley graduate. More from an all-school assembly and Laffrey's impact on his hometown, plus the latest from Nashville, Tennessee, in today's Music City Bowl preview section. That's in the D section of the paper for today. We'll see if we have time for that. And you can read more at newsgazette.com. So one crucial missing thing that I did not mention is that there is a young gentleman sitting behind the kids, and they're holding up pictures with block eyes and I think football decorations that they drew for Mr. Laffrey. And there's also another photo. And it's a selfie taken on a bus with a lot of students behind him. There's a man. His name is Director Barry Hauser, and the Marching Illini left campus by bus Monday morning. So everybody's on their way. That photo is provided. The larger photo of the students is taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. Next up, Balderrata's Porchetta and Sicilian Sausage Sandwich shop to reopen after weekend burglary. Former employee suspected in theft. This article is written by Luke Taylor. He can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. When Balderrata's, that's B-A-L-D-A-R-O-T-T-A, when Balderrata's Porchetta and Sicilian Sausage owners and staff got to work on Sunday morning, the first employee to clock in discovered that he couldn't. The point-of-sale technology, where employees also sign in for the day, was missing. My first thought after that, I ran to the back of the restaurant, to my office, and I'm like, yep, money is all gone, said owner, Paris Balderrata. Then I just started walking around, seeing everything. Alongside the missing point-of-sale system, Balderrata discovered that a laptop computer and around $1,600 in cash had been stolen. Additionally, tip money had been stolen, knobs had been removed from the ovens, and part of the slicer was taken. The loss of necessary parts meant the sandwich shop was unable to open on Sunday. Owners spent that day and the next morning working to replace those missing parts and working with their insurance company to recoup financial damages. Balderrata said an employee had come in and quit on Saturday night and refused to leave after she told him to, so she had just gone back to working because she was busy. Now she has learned that none of the staff actually saw the former employee leave. All the doors were completely locked and not broken into, so the police theory is that he hid here in the building and then waited for us to be gone, Balderrata said. She said that there were a couple of places someone could potentially have hidden long enough not to be spotted as workers closed up for the night. The owners called the police, who investigated the restaurant, Baldurada said. On top of lost cash and parts, the restaurant lost income Sunday due to the unexpected closure. While some parts were able to be replaced fairly quickly, a new point-of-sale system has yet to arrive. Still, Baldurada said the restaurant would be open again today, and ownership would be doing what it could to make it possible for sales to go through. We were going to be closed for the holiday this week, but we're going to probably end up staying open all week because we need to, she said. Definitely come out, support us. We can use anything we can get. In hindsight, she says she wishes the restaurant had more of a security system and cameras, the kinds of systems they didn't realize they would want until after the fact. That was one more purchase that the owners made during the couple of days they ended up needing to be closed, and a new security system is set to arrive soon. There's one photograph of a van next to a building. It's a red van, brick and mortar building. The caption reads, "A van operated by Baldurada's Porchetta and Sicilian Sausage sits outside the restaurant's new location on Grigg Street in Urbana." And that photo is taken by Jana Wiersema for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Lauren Tate, Tate Lines, Downey's impact went much deeper than just basketball. The State Farm Center's Club 53 was established in honor of the late Dave Downey, who scored a University of Illinois record 53 points at Indiana in 1963. Despite a 104-101 loss in that game, he led the Illini to their only Big Ten basketball co-championship in a span of 28 years. But Downey, who died at age 84 Saturday, following a two-decade battle with Parkinson's disease, was even more renowned for his business acumen, community service, and as a thoughtful member of the U of I Board of Trustees and more organizations than there is room to list here. And this is, by the way, a life remembered. If basketball served as his foundation, it pales in comparison to the totality of his life. On Sunday, Brad Underwood, Illini basketball coach, called Downey a champagne fixture who will live in the history books. Joining Mass Mutual as an agent while still in college, though drafted, Downey disdained the NBA in favor of law school. Downey evolved quickly from an insurance salesman to a national icon, widely respected for his technical knowledge. By his mid-30s, he was Mass Mutual Man of the Year twice among 3,600 members and was frequently called by other agents across the country to resolve complex cases. A colleague noted, he had a knack for finding visionary solutions across many lines. One specialty developed by Downey was his work with a large number of banks in insuring their directors. In one of his major achievements, Downey was a cornerstone in lifting the Advanced Association of Life Underwriters off the ground. He was called on for many speaking engagements, not only locally but across the country. He joined many business organizations and served on numerous boards locally and nationally, including M Financial. In the 1990s, when Latin and Spanish American protesters occupied university offices, Downey represented the U of I Board of Trustees in helping resolve that situation. In October 2024, Downey completed a succession plan to care for clients and staff when he sold his Devonshire Street business to a California company. Most recently, he attended a ceremony in hometown Canton, C-A-N-T-O-N, where the court was named after him. As a basketball star, he joined Bill Small, Bob Starnes, and the late Bill Burwell, a 6'8 black center from Brooklyn who served as a groomsman at Downey's marriage in 1963, as three-year starters under coach Harry Combs. They were involved in one of the most memorable NCAA tournaments in 1963. Assigned to Michigan State's Fieldhouse for the round of 16, they were part of a historic four-team event that saw Mississippi State coach Babe McCarthy sneaking out of Starkville in one direction, while the school president joined the team on a quickly arranged flight before the segregationist governor, Ross Barnett, could serve papers preventing them from playing against opponents with black members. Chicago Loyola, led by All-American Jerry Harkness and three other black starters, defeated Mississippi State 61 to 51, and then Illinois 79 to 64 on the way to the NCAA title. In a period of marked racial change, this created a turning point in desegregation, or came at a turning point in desegregation, even as it came long after Northern schools had integrated sports teams. The Illini featured Buddy Young, Paul Patterson, and Ike Owens as black football stars as far back as 1946 and were led by Edwardsville's Manny Jackson and Governor Vaughn in 1958, 59, and 60. Downey and Jackson became close friends in their many contributions to the U of I, which included multiple seven-figure donations by Downey, including a $2 million contribution for State Farm Center renovation. Downey often made it his business to help in anti-segregation matters and served on a committee handling the desegregation of Champaign schools in the late 1960s. He always credited Jackson and Vaughn for their tolerance, quote-unquote, in dealing with problems, particularly on road trips. After college, he was the only white member of a local AAU team, saying later, "I seem to have the ability to bridge the gap in the civil rights era." This was just one of many features of Dave Downey's extraordinary life. Lauren Tate, L-O-R-E-N, last name Tate, T-A-T-E, writes for the News Gazette. He can be reached at L-T-A-T-E, L-Tate at newsgazette.com. There's two photos that accompany this A Life Remembered. One is of, it's taken in Memorial Stadium, or not Memorial Stadium, I'm sorry, State Farm Center. And it is a game, at the beginning of a game. The team is on the court, and they're standing in their uniforms. And the caption reads, "A moment of silence was held for the late Dave Downey before Monday's Illini basketball game at State Farm Center in Champaign." And that game took place yesterday at 2 p.m. That photo was taken by Robin Scholes for the News Gazette. And so is this one. It's a basketball game in State Farm Center again, and there's an older gentleman. He's on the court, and he's waving up to the crowd, and he is being led by a younger gentleman, assisted, who's taken his arm. The caption reads, "Dave Downey, standing with his son, Jay, J-A-Y Downey, on January 19th, 2023, at State Farm Center in Champaign, is honored for scoring a record 53 points for Illinois against Indiana during a January 1963 game. He died Saturday at the age of 84. All right, just one moment. The next headline reads, from Top of the Morning, "Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso." 1 week after sinking the putt of her life during a bragging rights timeout, Kate Storsved still doesn't know if she'll be rewarded for it. That's Kate, K-A-T-E, last name Storsved, S-T-O-R-S-V-E-D. During last Monday's Illini blowout of the Tigers in St. Louis, Kate sent a fast-moving putt from one free throw line through a poster board's tiny hole at the other. The public address announcer belted out, "You won a car," before backtracking a bit. "You won something. Nice job," How about a hand for Kate? An all-area girls soccer performer at Champaign Central, class of 19, Kate dabbles in golf. She jumped at the chance when a Missouri marketing staff member asked her pregame if she'd participate in a putting contest, pitting her against a Tigers fan. If only Dad was as clutch. Kate asked me to record it, and one, due to my poor skills, and two, excitement, my recording didn't show it going on, John Storsved said. Luckily, friends on the other side of the arena got a very good recording, which John shared on Facebook to rave reviews. A Bragan Right regular, often attending with grandfather and Illini season ticket holder Ron Kiddo, Kate was mobbed afterward. Lots of fist bumps, high fives, and what did you win? John said. Great question. No word on the prize, John said, adding that Kate received a text message in the second half indicating she'd be contacted soon. We're not holding our breath. And there's a photograph of Kate and John Storsved in St. Louis. It's them smiling for the camera, kind of in winter clothes and their Illini gear. It's provided. Well, congratulations to her. Hopefully she'll win something. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, as a result of an arrest in Laredo, Texas, of Philip Kaler, K-A-L-E-R, and his 17-year-old bride, federal officials believe they will be able to uncover the operation of an organized gang that's been passing forged money orders throughout the country. In 1975, a Champaign County grand jury has returned indictments against the officers and directors of the Champaign-based First National Finance Corporation. The finance company allegedly had bilked about $500,000 from approximately 170 investors. In international history, today's highlight. On December 30th, 2006, former Iraqi president Saddam Hussein was executed by hanging after being convicted of crimes against humanity by the Iraqi High Tribunal. Hussein was captured in 2003 by U.S. forces while hiding near his hometown of Tikrit. Also on this date, in 1860, 10 days after South Carolina seceded from the Union, the state militia seized the United States Army arsenal in Charleston. In 1896, Jose Rizal, R-I-Z-A-L, whose writings inspired the Philippine Revolution, was executed by Spanish Army troops after being convicted of rebellion, sedition, and conspiracy. That was 1896. In 1903, more than 600 people died when fire broke out at the recently opened Iroquois Theater in Chicago. In 1922, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR, officially came into existence. In 2009, 7 CIA employees and a Jordanian intelligence officer were killed by a suicide bomber at U.S. base in Khost, or H-O-S-T-E, Afghanistan. And in 2015, actor and comedian Bill Cosby was charged with drugging and sexually assaulting a woman at his suburban Philadelphia home in 2004. The next headline reads, from Rob LeCates and his column, Name Dropping, Vet Tech Returns to Alma Mater to Give Back. News Gazette staff writer Rob LeCates' name-dropping column appears every Monday in the e-edition of the News Gazette. Here's an excerpt. Education wasn't in the cards for her, but after more than 15 years working alongside veterinary technician interns from her alma mater, Parkland College, she had a change of heart. Megan Johnson, now 3.5 years into her full-time role, received her flowers in the form of the Outstanding Staff Green Award from Parkland College for being a natural leader and a positive, hardworking person. Having the students with me, I realized I really liked teaching, she said. I really liked it when they grasped the concept or when they did a skill right the first time and I got to see how excited they got. Johnson initially studied English education at Illinois State University, but decided it wasn't for her. I was sitting in class one day and I was bored out of my mind listening to this instructor talk and realized I can't do this for the rest of my life, she said. So I literally went home and typed in fun careers with animals. She scrolled through zookeeper jobs, but thought taming lions would be outside her skill set. Eventually, she found the description of a veterinarian technician and felt her calling. Johnson, a prolific animal lover with a preference to dogs, knew the cliche of every vet loves animals, but her resolve pushed her further into the profession. Soon after, she transferred to Parkland College's veterinary technology program and graduated with the 2-year degree in 2009. During her first year of school, she felt slightly overwhelmed because coursework entailed more than she originally thought. Johnson believed it would be an assistant position where she helped in little ways, but she said it's so much deeper than that. She had to learn about different sizes and species of animals, which included cats, dogs, mice, rats, guinea pigs, and rabbits, which were on site at Parkland. Additionally, the school partnered with the U of I to study larger barnyard animals and zebras, giraffes, and bears. Students worked with those animals throughout the year and were allowed to lay claim to them. Johnson said around 80% of the animals were adopted by the students, with the others taken home by Parkland staff or the public. After graduating, she worked at the Country View Vet Clinic in Champaign, and while there, she worked alongside interns from the same school she attended. During her 15 years there, eventually she returned to her alma mater for a part-time position in 2017, helping in the labs, which got her foot in the door. After around 5 years, she started in a full-time role as the lead lab technician. At the start of each year, she learns 32 names, and the best way they learn, while the task seems daunting, she finds joy in it. Johnson said people pursuing her career may not think about the hard part of the job, which she said is dealing with the cases that you can't make better, or the cases that don't end the way you want them to. In the field, burnout is a beast, paired with compassion fatigue, with vet technicians leaving the profession after 5 to 10 years because they can't take the heartache, Johnson said. With people moving to other careers, there is a shortage of workers. People adopt pets every day, and Johnson said the world is in dire need of more technicians. When she worked at the clinic, she found an easier time than others putting her feelings away to help families with difficult decisions. I saw animals from when families brought them in to their first puppy visit to the last of their days. And you get so attached because you see them every year or a couple times a year, she said. The emotional weight of the job is one of the hardest parts. Your next appointment at a clinic could be a brand new kitten and you have to be excited for that person who's about to start that journey, but you maybe just put down an animal that you knew its whole life, she said. She hopes students would have fun in the career they choose. She loves it, so she wants them to as well. I want them to be passionate about it, but have fun at the same time, she said. You can joke and be serious when you need to be serious, but when it's a fun time, let's have fun. Rob Lacates is a multimedia reporter at the News Gazette. You can reach him by phone or email. His phone number is 217-393-8262. That's 217-393-8262. And his email is RLECATES@newsgazette.media, it says here. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article. It's of a woman holding a cat on a table. The caption reads, Parkland College veterinary technician Megan, that's M-E-G-A-N, Johnson, with Mr. Clyde, one of the school's cats, on December 18th at the school in Champaign. That photo was taken by Robin Scholes. Again, that's R-O-B-I-N. Last name Scholes, S-C-H-O-L-Z, for the News Gazette. As a quick reminder, the story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. Now let's take a look at the weather forecast for the next few days. Today, 30 degrees, mostly sunny early, becoming mostly cloudy, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, wind chill values as low as 2 below in the morning. That's today. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the high will be 35, the low will be 25. Cloudy, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Thursday, slightly colder, the high will only get to 28, the low will be 17, but it will be sunny. That's New Year's Day. Friday, January 2nd, the high will be 36, the low is 19, partly sunny. And again, Saturday, January 3rd, the high will be 35, the low is 22, and it will be partly cloudy, or partly sunny, I suppose, depending on how you look at it. Next up, Town Hall B1, the B section of the paper. Let's move to that section. And as a reminder, these are people in the community, experts in the community, who are weighing in on topics that are of interest to them. The next headline reads, My Turn by Terrence L. Thomas, Terrence L. Thomas, Why I Support Medical Aid in Dying as a Christian Minister. I want to be clear at the outset that the views expressed here are my own, shaped by my work as an ordained Christian minister and chaplain, and do not represent the position of any hospital, health system, or organization with which I have been affiliated in the past, am affiliated in the present, or may be affiliated in the future. Recently, Illinois became the 12th state to legalize medical aid in dying for terminally ill patients, commonly known as Debs Law, State Bill 1950. This legislation seeks to give terminally ill patients the right to end their suffering on their own terms. As both a liberation and humanist theologian, I support Illinois' medical aid in dying law, not in spite of my Christian faith, but because of it. I come to this position as a pastor and chaplain who has spent 10 years at bedsides where theology stops being theoretical and suffering becomes painfully concrete. I have prayed with people who were deeply faithful, mentally clear, surrounded by love, and still worn down by pain, loss of function, and the slow unraveling of the self. These are not people who wanted to die. These were people who wanted the suffering to stop. The late physician and ethicist Eric Cassel, E-R-I-C, last name C-A-S-S-E-L, argued that suffering is not identical to pain. Suffering arises when the integrity of the person is threatened, when illness erodes identity, dignity, agency, and meaning. We'll stop there, part one of this important editorial piece, and we'll continue in part two of the News Gazette, which I'll read to you shortly. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, December 30th, 2025, one of the last days of 2025. I'll be back to read part two of the News Gazette with you shortly. Please stay with me. Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure to read with you, and I'll be right back for part two. Have a wonderful day.